Well, hello, ladies of No BS. Welcome. I am Coach Lizzie. Happy Saturday. Happy first Saturday in August. It's a little warm out there. Come on in. This is our monthly reset call. And so we are here to reset and to have a great chat. And I've got lots of things I'd love to chat with you about. I'm so glad you're here. Come on in, one and all. This is open coaching. So if you would like to be coached, please raise your hand. And as we're welcoming in some folks, I got just a couple of things to talk about in terms of resetting and so forth. So why do we need to reset in the first place? Like sometimes we have the feeling of like, I just fell off the wagon. Ugh. You know, have you ever heard that? Have you ever said that to yourself? I know I certainly have. And I'd like to encourage you to think of it a little bit differently because the idea of falling off the wagon implies like a temporary change. Like I was on the wagon, like I'm on a diet, which means like at some point I'm going to be off a diet. And that actually kind of sets us up for this kind of on the wagon, off the wagon, black or white diet mentality. And so I'd love to offer you an analogy that you may have heard before, but it never hurts to refresh, which is instead of thinking of weight loss as like a race to the finish line that I'm working towards my goal weight and then huzzah, I'm done. It's more like a garden, like tending a garden, because like when do you arrive when you lose weight? Like, okay, yeah, my goal weight, but then what, right? And that's why a lot of regains end up happening because we don't think about what it's like to live at our goal weight. Here's a thought I want to lend you is a lot of times we think so much about losing weight that we don't think about living at a lower weight. So when you switch from the, you know, race, I'm racing towards my finish line to I'm tending a garden, you're not just focusing on losing weight. I want you to think about what would it be like to live at a lower weight. And that's kind of like, again, tending a garden. Like when you're taking care of a garden, you know, it's a daily practice. It's nurturing. You're never done. And you could get it looking amazing, but if you leave it for a month, then it's gonna get overgrown with weeds, which is interesting about weeds because in the analogy of a garden, weeds are really normal. Like it's not the gardener's fault that weeds come up. So if we're the gardener and a weed comes up, you can't be like, oh, I'm a terrible gardener. It's not like, oh, there's a weed. And so in our analogy here with weight loss, a weed can be, I had an overeat, or I had a binge, or I had a shitty thought. You know, that's normal. And so all we got to do instead of making it like the worst thing ever, it's like, oh, I'm just gonna pluck that weed, move it on. And so in the idea of here we are in our reset call, instead of thinking about I was off the wagon, I want to get on the wagon or back on the wagon, I want you to think about maybe, you know, it's normal for us to kind of loosen up on our habits sometimes, but instead of trying to get back on track, let's get back to normal. So we always want to be focusing on the next step in front of you, trying to get back to normal, because again, it's not just about I'm trying to lose weight. It is what does it mean to live at a lower weight? So you want to normalize things so much, as much as you can, to be like, what does normal look like for me? Because I'm going to be living at my lower weight, and that lower weight is going to become normal to me. So how do we do that, right? A lot of times we want to just like jump all in, you know, and say like, let's go. I'm going to, you know, get back on track, and everything's going to be great, and that's going to you know, use up a lot of our energy. But instead, I would love for you to think about like taking just one step at a time. And as I'm talking about this, go ahead and raise your hand if you want to be coached today. I would love for us to be able to like unmute and talk because I only have a few more things to say before I run out. So we definitely need some hands raised so we can have kind of a back and forth for live coaching. So, but real quick, going back to the idea of baby steps. So why do, and baby steps is basically like 1% level ups. So, you know, we tend to go all in and we bite off more than we can chew and we get overwhelmed and we give up. And that's, you know, it's really normal that we would do that because our brains are not designed to take on big changes all at once. There's part of the brain called the amygdala, which is kind of where the fight or flight response lives. And it's designed to be on alert, like that kind of, sonar ping, like boop, boop, looking for change. Anything that's a change is like, ah, this is bad. And when we dive back into a diet all at once, that's a lot of change all at once. So you want to just focus on the next step in front of you instead of the whole staircase. And that's why 1% level ups work when big sweeping changes, get us all tired out and we end up giving up. So small changes kind of over time sort of sneak on past that amygdala, that fight or flight response. Like a 1% level up, the amygdala is like, well, that doesn't seem like a big change. It doesn't ping the radar of alert, alarm. And so diets make you change lots of things all at once, but 1% level ups ask you to make small changes and you get big results as an outcome. To refresh from some of the reset calls that Coach MJ has done in the past, what we're going to do is take a look at our four basics and just kind of rate yourself on a 1 to 4. How are you doing? And then we're going to go through our ABCs, ABCDE of action steps to get back on track. So with our four basics, we've got making a 24-hour plan. When I was getting ready for this call today, I was thinking about where am I rating myself on a 1 to 4? So like one is like I hardly ever do it, and four is I do it most of the time. And two and three are in there. This, by the way, four is not perfect. Remember the phases of change. The best we're looking for is 80-20. So there is no 100% of the time. So 24-hour plan. I make a plan for dinners for the week. I don't make a plan for breakfast or lunch because frankly, it's mostly the same every day. So that's just over years of making plans that I have learned that that's what I do. But so for myself, I'm at a four pretty much. Like when I get back from vacation, I'm closer to a three in making my plan, but we've been back for a couple of weeks now, so closer to a four on making my plan. So that's basic number one. Basic number two, doable hunger. So waiting for hunger and stopping at enough. I would give myself a three for both of those. Like I'm most of the time, a lot of the time, but yeah, I could dial it in a little bit. And then we've got water. Got my water. You got your water with you? Everybody, take a drink. Here we go. I am all in on a four. I probably drink too much water. So super four on the water. And then there's sleep. Yeah. Sleep is a one. It's just not been great lately. It's just like fortunately, I go to bed at a really good time, 9 o'clock usually. But I tell you what, whether it's hot outside or I don't know if it's perimenopause or whatever, but like between one and two, oh yeah, and my husband also is waking me up. But like I am awake a lot in the night and it's been harder to get back to sleep. So I'm going with a one on sleep. So that's the one that I'm going to be ready resetting on today. So going back to how do we reset? Let's go back to Coach MJ's ABCDEs of resetting. So, number one, assess. So, we just did that. Assess, evaluate your status and your progress compared to where you want to be. I would love to sleep better. So, like, this is something that I could probably work on a little bit. So, that was A, assess. B, be honest with yourself. Be honest. Are you waiting for hunger? Are you stopping at enough? No judgment here. This is just data. It's easy to look at our trackers as like, we're getting a grade in 7th grade English class. No, don't look at it that way. Be the scientist. This is data. This is information. We're collecting data. So look at your progress with an unbiased eye. Recognize yourself for the progress you've made, and then we'll look for where we can make adjustments. Speaking of. So we've got an A, we got B, now we got C. Create a weight loss plan. One or two things that will move the needle for you. So for me, I got to come up with one or two things that will move the needle for me in terms of sleep. And for you, it might be with waiting for hunger. It might be with stopping at enough. We're going to talk about those today because I know you're going to raise your hand to want to get coached, right? Let's see those hands raised. And then D, do you have a plan? So list 10 things, 10 things, anything, let's make them not good enough steps, 10 not good enough steps that you could try this month to make your level up a reality. Why do I say not good enough? Because When you say, I'll try XYZ, but it's not good enough, that's probably an example of a 1% level up. Remember, 1% level ups were the ones that sneak past the amygdala. That's good. We don't want the brain's like change-o-meter to be freaking out. We want that 1% level up. So list out 10 things, 10 not good enough things that you could try to help you get your weight loss plan kind of moving again. So we had A was assess, B is be honest, C is create a plan, D is do you have a plan, list 10 things, and E is execute. Put your plan into action, follow through. You got 10 things for the next 10 weeks, try one. So for me, for my sleep, I think and I told my husband this today, I was like, I'm gonna try and stop drinking a soda after lunch. Like, I just don't need any more caffeine. And so that's one thing I can do to help with getting better sleep during the night. And I think that I probably need to dial in my meditations so that I'm not so like my brain's not spinning so much when I wake up in the night. And also maybe some stretching, some things like that. So those are three of 10 ideas that I could have. So far we've got one person raising their hand, which is great. We've got Ruchi. I think I'm pronouncing your name right, hopefully. We'll pull you up, I think, if I can remember how to do that. And then we'll get other folks on for coaching. This is great, right? Who's ready for coaching? Who's ready? I am. All right. So hopefully we got, she will be joining very soon. Excellent. All right. By the way, folks, it's just me here today. So if you've got something to, if you have a question, please type it in the Q&A rather than the chat, because I will definitely see the Q&A, whereas the chat kind of can go by kind of fast. So, Ruchi, when you get a chance, if you could share your video, I think you might be unmuted. I can't hear you yet. Can you say something?
Hi, I think I unmuted myself. I don't know how to share the video.
Okay, let me
Okay,
see.
let's see right here. There
Here
we go.
we go. Hi.
Hi, and I do have my water.
Nice
I
job. Cheers.
have upgraded all the bottles in my house to what, to 32 ounce, so then I know. I
Fantastic.
do. I started with, I'll give you some facts first, and I need some help with the reset. I started with no BS in middle of January. I lost good 7 pounds since then. I have
Nice.
total of 30 pounds to lose. So, and then this is the first time I went on vacation for 4th of July and gained 2 pounds. That has not happened in years. So going forward, when I go on vacation, I have to be more mindful of what I did differently to gain weight on vacation. Because that was something that I worked on even before I started No BS. So since I have started No BS, I have been picking one thing to work on. So since January, I have worked on taking care of my witching hour. I do not have a fuck it food, so I can eat any food in a limit. So I'm
Okay.
good with that. I used to, when I was, I get really stressed. I get up in middle of the night, say 2 or 3, hungry, and I would go down 300, 400, 500 calories. So I worked on that. So that is taken care of. I was a binge eater when stress hit, took care of that. I
Wow.
have been working on eating and eating till enough. I think I got my sign, but then the second step was having the strength to stop at enough. So
Okay.
that is one thing I am working on. And dinner at times is a challenge, but other meals I am good with it. Took care of out of plan eat. So now, after doing my plan, I am a planner in general. So for me, planning comes, that's something I do day in, day out. So not a problem. But the good part with planning is I figured out what are the foods that I crave. So then slowly and slowly, I started putting them on the plan in place of the things which really didn't do much for me. So I am good with that to finish the self-love and self-care course in No BS. So I think I am 80% on it. Now I have learned how to, what are, first, what are my needs? And then second is how to take care of those needs and making that a priority rather than just running myself down. So I do have made a lot of good progress with No BS. I am so happy I joined the program. Since I started, I have been losing about anywhere between 1 pound to 1/2 pound. But last month, I have completely hit a stall. I am just at the same weight, maybe like 0.25 up, 0.25 down. So I do have anxiety-based eating. I did submitted a question, Corinne answered mine. I have worked with you through Ask No Coaches. We have been back and forth for a week, week and a half. And even there, I have improved a lot, but there is more. It's a habit of a decade, so it's going to take some time for me to improve. So, and the next thing I am working now is over the weekend, especially because during the work days, I go to bed at 10 and then I'm up around 6. On Saturday night, as usually, we'll stay up till like, who knows, even 1 or 2 o'clock if we are out or watching a movie. Even though I am not hungry, the idea is, oh, I'm going to get hungry. I won't be able to sleep and will not have a good sleep because I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night or early morning. So I tend to have some food. So that is something I am working on. And I just need a little bit of a help. What like things can I do, or what things can I be more mindful so I can continue my weight loss?
Okay. So, Ruchi, before we dive in, I just want to pause and give you like a million high fives for everything you started with and everybody listening. Just like pay attention to how she came in and she said, "Here are all the things that I have done to make progress." And that is so crucial. Like I absolutely want to honor that you're in a stall and we're going to totally address that, but when you are losing weight, you need to be able to see where you're making progress. And that list you shared, wow, really impressive. Congratulations. I'm just so thrilled. And you clearly have so much that you are doing for yourself. So that is awesome. Okay. And so you feel stalled for how long?
For the whole month, like now, I have not gained, I have not lost any weight. And
Okay.
I default eat healthy. That is even before the no BS. Yes, I used to overeat quite a bit. So I like one, I just picked one habit at a time and just kept working on it till I was good with it.
Love that. Okay. All right. So you mentioned during weekdays, you tend to go to bed around 10, weekends later, and you have this thought to eat. That's one area we could address. The other area you mentioned is anxious eating, which I could be wrong, but it sounds like that might be a little bit more frequent than just weekends. So which area do you think you'd rather us address?
Interestingly, anxious eating is also on the weekends because weekends is when I have no schedule. So I don't know when I leave home and if we are out and about, when I will come home. And so now what I tend to do is if I'm going to be out for a long period of time, I just pack a snack. I'll
Okay.
just take like a piece of fruit or nut or pretzel, which if I eat, I eat. If I don't eat, it doesn't go bad and it can come home. So that's how I have been working with anxious eating, is just planning a little bit. Like I always have water bottle in my car. So that way, if I am hungry, I can just chug down some water and that will keep me for a few before I can get something to eat. So both the eating before bed and anxious eating is nighttime because Monday through Friday, life is very structured for me. So
Okay. And just to, kind of cover all of our bases, how would you rate yourself on waiting for hunger?
waiting for hunger, I am really good. Now I am so proud of myself. Now I don't think about food at all. I laugh that I have a breakup with food. Before, food was, I will go to food for everything.
Okay.
Now food is when my stomach tells me. And I have recently started doing that clock method where if I am feeling hungry, I will have 8 ounces of water. And I don't put a timer, I just wait. After drinking 8 or 16 ounces of water, whenever hunger comes back, that's when I will eat. So I am good with that piece. So water is good, sleep is good, waiting for hunger is good. It's just the enough and the overeat over the weekends is where I am
Okay.
working.
Okay. So how about we talk about the overeats on the weekends? How's that sound?
Okay.
Real quick, when you say anxious eating happens on the weekends, is that anxiousness of I'm worried about something, or is it I'm afraid I will get hungry when I'm out and about? Is it fear of hunger, or is it like worries about work or life or things?
No, not worries about work or life. It's mostly, oh, I won't. Like last week, we went for a picnic. I was going to be with other people. So I ate, even though I was not hungry before leaving home, I ate some more because I didn't want to be the first one to say, hey, I'm hungry. We just got here. Let's take the food out. So
Okay.
it's like things like that, where, or if I know I am out and I won't be able to eat, I won't have time to eat anything. So I preemptively eat. And it's exactly the same thought when I overeat at night that, hey, I won't be able to sleep. I'm going to get up at 6 in the morning hungry, which I never eat at 6 o'clock, even on working days. If I have my dinner at 7, I don't eat till 9.
Okay. All right, so let's imagine it's the weekend, of course, which is easy to do since today is Saturday. And you stay out later. Do you feel like your body is genuinely, truly hungry, or is it more of a thought?
I think I have a lot of powers. I can make myself hungry. I will keep thinking about it, and I will keep thinking about it to the point where I feel like my body's like feeling hungry now.
Okay. So we're solving for that eating later than usual when you're up later than usual.
Yes.
Okay. So let's brainstorm 10 not good enough ideas that we could try to that you could experiment with to just experiment with how could you check in with your body, see if you're truly hungry, or maybe push off hunger a little bit, or even just reassure yourself with your thoughts that like those anxious thoughts may come up and maybe you expect them and you have something to say back to them. Let's brainstorm together. What do you think?
I can tell myself, let's just try it out. If I get hungry in the middle of the night, it's my house. I can go downstairs and eat something. It's okay.
Okay, so there's a thought. If I get hungry, I can eat. Okay, that could be kind of reassuring instead of like preemptive eating. You could just be like, I'm going to wait until I get hungry. And if I get hungry, then I'll eat. Okay. What else?
I don't know. I need help on this.
Absolutely. No problem. So, a couple of ideas could be like a simple one could be just like keep your mouth busy with like a mint or some gum or teeth brushing. So that could be a thing. Other ideas would be, I don't know that this is happening, but and it could be a little bit of boredom. Again, I don't know that for sure, but boredom eating is definitely a challenge. It's super definitely one that I struggle with. And so you could busy yourself with other activities. So TV, a book, a game, a puzzle, it would be kind of hard to go for a walk late at night. But, little things like that. So busy your brain effectively. Let's see, other ideas. Obviously, you
Well,
could go ahead.
I decide something like a lot of times for my evening snack. Sometimes I don't know what I will feel like having in the evening. So I just give myself a range that, hey, if you have 200 calories, you can do whatever you want with it. So I can do something like that if you really get hungry, I can pre-decide what I can eat. If I don't feel like eating that means you're not hungry. So I can pick the most boring possible thing.
I love that idea. Yeah. Pre-decide a boring snack. Love that. Another thought could be that you could allow yourself to have a snack, but that you make a deal with yourself that it is at the table, no distractions, no TV, no phone. It's just you and the food. Let's see. Do you happen to eat in bed? Is that a thing?
No, my kitchen is downstairs, beds are upstairs. I'm a clean freak, but I don't like to clean, so I don't make a mess.
Okay.
That's
I agree.
Basically, only in kitchens. I don't have to clean crumbs upstairs.
I'm with you. I'm not a crumbs in the bed kind of person either. Okay, so other ideas. I would also like let's look at thoughts we could practice with. So you've had some experience with this. So number one, you can expect your brain to offer you the thought, "Ooh, what if I get hungry?" So if you were to expect that thought and be like, "Oh, hey, there's that thought. I knew it was coming." What could be a alternative, like, thought to balance it out? Let's
Okay,
brainstorm a
so
couple thoughts.
pre-think the thought. Perfect. I think that's a good list. I will work on it for next 2 to 3 weeks, and then I can reach out to you and ask coaches to see if I need more help.
Okay.
I have one more thing.
Yeah.
As we are talking, the anxiety-based eating, I feel like a lot of it is still tied to people pleasing, where I don't want to see other people, oh, she's always hungry, because I think a lot of preemptive eating is because of that too. Hey, on weekends I am out and about with friends or other people. I don't want to come across as she's the first one who's asking for food, or she's the first one who's always hungry. How do I work with that? How do I break that thought or
Yeah, that's a
fix?
great question. So, what's the worst that could happen if you happen to get hungry and you want to eat and you tell people?
It's just I don't want to be seen as, oh, she's always the hungry one, or oh, let's open the food because Ruchi's going to get hungry quickly. I don't want to
Okay.
hear those comments.
Okay. Is that something you've experienced in the past, those kinds of comments?
Not with me, with other people. I have seen, oh, let's go find a place because somebody's going to get hungry sooner. Because I have people who don't get hungry for 6 hours because the quantity of food they eat is so much. I can never, that's how much I eat in the whole day.
You're right. Okay. So you've witnessed this, like someone else is getting hungry, and the
Yes.
people around you say, "Oh, we need to find a place to eat because so and so will get hungry."
Yeah, so it comes as like making a joke on them that, oh, let's wrap up because you're going to get hungry very quickly. So I don't want to hear it. So how do I work through that part?
Okay. So I was first kind of asking, like, is this something that is actually a problem, and also is, what level of control do you have over other people's thoughts? So that is something to consider. But I guess I think what I'm hearing you say is you've seen this sort of teasing, making a joke about it in relation to someone else, and you don't want to be the source of the joke. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I want to like validate that feeling that like nobody wants to be the source of the joke. So I really want to honor that. And I think you mentioned before, like, are there things that you can take with you in your purse that you could eat on the go when
That's what I have been doing to kind of get a grip on the anxiety-based eating, is I'll take something where it's not perishable. So if I eat, that's good. If not, that's fine too.
There occasionally are times to eat, ahead of time. Well, like for example, in the mornings, I'll have like 3 hours worth of meetings, and I know I'm going to get hungry in an hour, so I might eat a small thing beforehand. But in general, if you think you may have the opportunity to sneak something out of your purse and have a little nibble, that can be a way to sort of calm your brain and your nervous system and say, like, again, kind of like we said at the nighttime eating, that if I get hungry, I have something available and I'll eat. I'll be okay. How's that land?
That sounds good. So for my next step will be now working on this anxiety-based eating and nighttime eating, and then see where the weight loss goes from there.
Yeah. And if I may, I'd also like to just remind you, when you have an anxious thought about food, and I say when on purpose because your brain is practiced at this, and that's so it's normal for your brain to be like, uh-oh, what if I get hungry? Recognize that and be like, oh, I expected my brain to get anxious. And remember some of those nervous system tools that Coach Kathy's been teaching us, whether it's, place your hand on your heart and just, I'm safe. safe. I've got something in my purse. If I'm hungry, I'll eat. I'll be okay. And just kind of soothe yourself. I used to think that those sort of mind-body tools were nice, but sort of fluffy and cute until I learned the science behind it, which is it really like the anxious responses in your body. And so therefore the resources in your brain are diminished because the blood is in your muscles and in your lungs. And so sometimes it's hard to think your way out of an anxiety or an anxious response. And so that's why it's so important to meet your body where it's at and just be like, we're okay. It's okay. We're okay. Another quick tool is if you take a couple of deep breaths and you hum on your way out when you exhale, that can massage the vagus nerve, which is the biggest nerve in your body. And that's just a quick way, especially like if there's nobody around, you can excuse yourself to the restroom and just whoo, and breathe out and make a noise. That can be a quick way, just like five big breaths can calm you down and just remind yourself, I'm safe. I got food in my purse. If I get hungry, I'll eat it.
Okay. And I have noticed as I am practicing more and more, the thought doesn't occur so frequently.
Hey, look at that. Progress.
Yes. Yes, I have seen the progress. So I will try all the methods that you have mentioned. It's good today is a weekend, so I can get going on this on today
There we
itself.
go. No time like the present.
Perfect timing. And then I'll follow up with you through Ask Coaches.
That's amazing. Thank you. Well,
Perfect.
I so appreciate you raising your hand today, and I'm so glad we got a chance to talk in person.
Yes, we did. Thank you very much. Really appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thank you too. Enjoy your weekend.
You too.
Thanks. Okay. Here we go. We're going to put Rumi back. I got Audrey's iPad is coming up. And we'll promote Audrey's iPad. I think I got a question here in the Q&A. Can I repeat the ABCDEs? Absolutely. So this is something that Coach MJ created on her very first reset call. So whoops, I just lost my notes there. A is assess, so evaluate where you are. That's like give yourself a 1 to 5 on the basics. B is be honest, no shame, no judgments, just data. C is create a weight loss plan, one or two things that might move the needle, like key strategies. Once you get a strategy that you want to work on, like I want to work on doable hunger, then number four, D, do you have a plan? List 10 things. And I suggested not good enough things because those would be like 1% level up things. And then E is execute. Get on out there and experiment and test your things and collect more data. So thank you for asking that question. Hi, Audrey. I'm so glad to see
Hi.
you.
Yes, you coached me. I'm not sure how long ago it was, but
I
I
was just
think
thinking that. I
this
think we've coached before.
winter spring and helping me find enough and
Yeah.
hunger or full and anyway, whatever that's called. This chart has been on my refrigerator and it has really helped me. Sometimes I know I'm past enough and keep going, but at least I'm recognizing that. So thank you for that.
Welcome, Audrey. That's amazing. And just for anybody who is listening to the replay or who wasn't sure what she showed, that is the doable hunger chart that you can find on the website. So that is awesome. You got that printed out and you even got it laminated. What a star. Nice
Well,
work.
no, it's just a page protector. It's the poor man's way to laminate, or the fast girl's way to
It
laminate.
works, right?
Yes. I was inspired by your last person to go ahead and make a list while she was talking. And I noticed, I'm going to cry. I will cry today. We got a lot of stuff going on in my family.
Sure.
Some new health diagnoses, all kinds of stuff with my grandkids. I never thought they would need me. Diapers were easier. But I have four grandkids and it's just been crazy this week. So I may cry. When I started all this, or I was going to say, when I started listing everything that I've done, and I've been in NoBS since June of 2023. I almost started crying because I think that is exactly what I need to do. I am a paper pencil person, planner, organizer, list, check it off, feel accomplished. And I think maybe that I've answered my own question. Maybe that exactly is what I need to be doing more of. But when I first started my weight loss journey in 2021, I was 287. When I started no BS, I was 260. Now I'm 248, but I have been, and I, my, what happens with me, and I'm actually see a specialist for arthritis next month, my inflammation levels are through the roof. So I know that if I weigh 248, tomorrow it could be 252.
Okay.
And once it never passes 248, then I know I'm there. Like
I
it's
see.
always, it can always be 5 pounds higher, just with the inflammation and some of the medications that I take. So I know that. So I'm not, and I did the old Pathways course called something about the scale.
Oh, sure. Conquering the scale.
That one. And then I did one this week that I thought was new, but I think it's just been renamed. I think it's the old module two because I'd already heard it. It was
Okay.
about thinking.
Yes.
So what I've done, I canceled DoorDash. Okay,
Oh.
so that was a, these are things that I've done. I have almost made this normal to walk 2 or 3 times a week. I have arthritis in my knee, and so I've gone ahead and gone with the 10 minutes is not good enough. Go anyway. Go
Amazing.
anyway.
Yes.
I've made habit to have water before soda. So I've already had, this is diet, I've already had 32 to 40 ounces of soda, I mean of water this morning. So I can have this.
Great.
I started cognitive therapy about the same time as no BS. So I have so much going on internally that I'm beginning to wonder if that's why the scale is frozen, is because I'm doing so much mental work. Like I'll never quit no BS just for the fact that it's cheaper than an hour of therapy. I've added some self-care now that my kids are grown and I'm not paying tuition and those kinds of things. I've added nails as my
Lovely.
self-care,
Yeah.
and I got a monthly massage plan. Now, if you told me 5 years ago I'd be doing that, I'd say that's a waste of money. And how in the world would anybody afford that? I've made it important. I
That's
don't have
amazing.
any teenage boys on the grocery plan right now. So it can go away if we start starving.
Well,
But
sure.
for now, that has that. I've learned how to do the Kathy deep breath. The body scan for me at first was kind of weird. But when I listened to that, whatever that course was this week, I was like, oh, I get it now. But
Right.
when I first joined, I thought, this is a little wacko, but I get it now. The Kathy one made more sense to me at the time, but I can do the full body scan. I don't practice it much, but I notice that. And I've noticed the exercise does increase my mood. So when I'm about to pull my hair out and go crazy like yesterday, I look back and go, well, you've not exercised in 4 days. So I'm already dressed to go do that.
Look at you finding patterns too.
I bought a Renpho scale so I can track because I like the data. So I've
Right.
done all those things. But I tend to beat myself up when my habit tracker is not up to par. But at the same time, I'm a school teacher. So probably next week I won't have this problem. My morning routine on this over the summer is more relaxed because I'm like, oh my goodness, I can sleep till 8 a.m. And so that therefore at 6 when the house is quiet, I'm not in here doing all my mental work. I mean, I've decided to, I'm a Christian. I'm in a deep Bible study that requires a lot of study and work. I've decided to drop that for now. I'm not going to lose my salvation. I've decided to drop that for now and spend that hour on this. And I've made myself a goal. A lot of times people forget my birthday or don't do anything for my birthday. So I've made myself a goal and I'm wondering if it's too high. My birthday is April 4th and I've decided I am going to get to 200 for my birthday, but that's 48 pounds. And I'm wondering if that goal is too high. I did the math at one point, and it's 1 to 2 pounds a week. But it's not happening on the scale. It's more like 1 to 2 pounds a month.
Okay, so So I think what I'm hearing you saying is let's talk about how to get the scale moving versus like the beat myself up over my habit tracker. Am I hearing that right? All right, cool. Okay. So there is the inflammation, which can make the scale a little wobbly. That's fine. At the same time, the scale is an outcome. It's a result of the tangible action steps, those 10 ideas of action steps that we can take. So let's talk about, what, no matter what the scale does, whether it's down to 200 by April, which I do believe is a possibility. I do believe that's feasible. But also, like, even if you're at 212 by April 4th, like, that's still amazing.
Right. And
And that.
my accountability group said, let's don't say, well, plan B, I won't be upset if I don't get to 200, because you're just setting yourself up for failure that way. And
So the
so,
way to set yourself up for success is to make the actions the
okay.
win. That's how you measure your progress, is in how consistently you do the actions. So let's talk about some of those. So when you're, by the way, I loved your, recounting of all the progress you've done. That was amazing. And everybody on this call, I encourage you to do what Ruchi did and what Audrey did, as look for all of the examples of progress you've made. And here we are, Audrey, now we're going to get into, and how do we help you continue to make that progress? So for you, how is your waiting for hunger and stopping that enough?
Well, in July was in a very emotional. This is a good one to for me to have to admit in public, because it's one of my worst ones. But I just did the percentages before I signed on. What did you ask me? Hunger.
How are you doing
So,
with waiting for hunger and stopping it enough?
okay, waiting for hunger was 61% for July, and 48% for stopping it enough. There was a week in there where I recorded nothing. So I just don't have any data. So it may be just a little bit higher, but still under 80.
And you know what? This is really good news, because that means that there's a lot of room for little wins and little steps of progress. So let's brainstorm. On either side of the doable hunger equation, whether it's waiting for hunger or stopping it enough, what are 5 to 10 not good enough actions that you could experiment with over the next couple of weeks and make your wins be those actions rather than what the scale says?
I'm like the previous caller. I have no idea off the top of my head, because, and I'll tell you why, is because sometimes I try the 1% and then it becomes habit,
Sure.
and then I don't add another one.
Okay. No problem. All
And I
righty.
have the list. I can go through the list and see all those things, but.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're together. So we can customize this for you. So I like to focus on stopping it enough, because I mean, they're both important, but like, in my opinion, stopping enough is a real needle mover. So number one, you could just serve yourself less on your plate. Like, pick one meal a day, serve yourself less. So that's one idea. I like that one personally, because I don't particularly love to be mindful when I eat. I just want to finish my plate. So I'm like, okay,
Okay.
just put less to start with. So serve less is one. You could, here's an idea, is when you set it down to your plate, make a line with the food, like put half of it on one side and half it on the other, so you can see the white of the plate underneath. And like, I'm going to eat this much on this side of the line. And when I'm done with that, I'm going to pause. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to talk to the people at the table. I'm going to take a couple deep breaths, maybe put my hand on my heart. And so that you have a visible reminder of like the halftime method of like, when I finish this much food, then I'm going to pause. So that's something, and you just check in. Another idea is, take a week and just record what are my enough signals? Like, sometimes we kind of lose a little touch with what does enough feel like, or as you lose weight, your level of enough is going to change because your body is a different size. So recalibrating your enough is valuable to do, as you go down the scale. So just, you could just take a week and be like, how did I know I was at enough? Well, I had a little bit of fullness in my tummy. I was starting to get distracted. I was looking for best bites, those, whatever, you just write them down. And again, just, you don't have to do this for every meal. It's just pick one meal a day for a
Okay,
week.
for a week.
So we got enough signals. There's the sometimes I hear people say, I think I'm at enough, but my brain says that can't be. Like, it's not enough food.
Yes, when you first coached me, that is exactly what happened. Now, it didn't freak me out as scary. It just freaked me out as how many years have I been doing
Okay, well,
this?
good to know. And so if you have that, I might be at enough, but that doesn't seem like enough food. That's definitely a time to like pause and be like, let's just put it away. And if I'm still hungry, I can go back. Like, try and use that. I might be at enough as a sign to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's put it down. Let's put it away. That could be an option. Let's see. So we've got 4 or 5 so far. As we've been talking, any other ideas kind of come to mind?
I think maybe when you said as your body changes, your enough signals change.
Yeah.
So the 4 or 5 pounds that I am down since you last talked to me about this, maybe I need to sit down with this while I'm eating again and just kind of maybe even Expo mark on it because I can erase it. Okay, this meal, here's where I am.
Yeah, love that idea. Love
And
that.
just sit down. And it's easy to do at lunch. I'm usually by myself at lunch. And so it's not like I'm ignoring the family.
Okay, great, great. So we've got a couple of ideas. If you want, I want to make sure we get as many people to get coached as possible. So, like, if you want, maybe send me a note and ask coaches, and we can brainstorm on the other side of the equation for how to wait for hunger.
Okay.
And again, it sounds like July was a bit of a roller coaster a month for you. So, be gentle with yourself. And all of these are just little experiments to like just tweak and test and try. And it's just those 1% things we're going to sneak past the amygdala. So your brain's not freaking out. We're just trying a little something.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I'm so happy to see you again, and just sending, well wishes for you and your family.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, that was so good to see Audrey again. All right, we'll change her back to attendee. We've got Carolyn is coming up. Y'all, this hour is flying by. This is so much fun. How do you remind yourself to serve yourself less, Jenny? Good question. So there's lots of ideas. You could put a reminder in your phone about around the time you're like, again, I said, just pick one meal a day that you're going to be serving yourself less. So for me, it's dinner is the one where I have more of a challenge. So put a reminder in your phone when you tend to be having dinner. Hey, we're going to serve yourself less. You could put a sticky note on your plates in your cabinet to remind yourself, hey, we're having less today, or like serve yourself less. Let's see. You could put a sticky note on your cooking pans. You could put it at the your plate at the table, your place at the table. A little reminder there. You could ask your accountability group to send you a reminder, or tell them like, I'm going to check in with you after dinner and tell you how much I serve myself. So those are just a handful of ideas to remind yourself how to serve yourself less. And we've got Carolyn. I need you to unmute and start your video when you get a minute.
Did I do that right?
I think so. I can hear you and I can see, I think, the ceiling.
Yeah, I'm in a spot where my phone is in a different place than I am.
Okay.
Sorry, Lizzie.
No problem. Well, we'll just have a good conversation then.
I left it downstairs.
Okay, no problem. Well, what's on your mind today?
I'm eating before I go to bed.
Okay.
And I have this thought that it's like okay to eat before I go to bed because I'm eating protein and I just got done riding my bike for, 2, 3 hours.
Wow.
And so that's a trigger. And the other trigger is my husband. And it's perfectly okay for him to be sitting in the living room watching, pickleball videos on his laptop. And it's perfectly okay for him to come and say, oh, I'm going to bed. And I have such a hard time with that because he's not going to bed. He's going into the bedroom to lay down and read.
Okay.
And he, you know, he's perfectly okay to do that. But it just, I don't know if that's the excuse that I give myself. And I'm, you know, maybe one out of seven nights I won't eat. And I don't need to be eating. I'm not hungry.
Okay.
I'm not, you know, I'm not stuffing myself, but it's not like a small snack. I mean, yeah, it's protein. So it's like, oh, that's okay, Carolyn, because you just got done exercising. I'm not even hungry. I don't even want it. And I'm trying quickly to get the stuff done that needs to be done so I can go to sleep. Because I don't want that stuff, the dirty dishes, the dishes being put away, you know, starting the laundry. I don't want that to greet me in the morning when I wake up. And the laundry's gotten better. I just started. I'll get up probably once or twice during the night to go to the bathroom. So when it's done, I'll just throw it in the dryer. And then if I get up a second time and it's dry, you know, it's all done. You know, it's like trying to be efficient. So I'm just not, I'm not relaxing. And it's just, I walked with my friend yesterday and it's just really stressful.
And is it, it's stressful because your husband's going to bed and you have things that, you know, like cleaning up the kitchen and the laundry and you feel, is it accurate to say that you feel resentful?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Okay. Yeah. Right. We got it. Yeah. Right.
Fair enough. So I think this is something we may have talked about a bit and asked coaches.
Yes.
Which is great. So, We've talked a lot and asked coaches about kind of your thoughts around what is okay and what's not for him to do. Brene Brown talks about how resentment, it feels like anger, but it's actually member of the envy family. So it's from kind of jealousy. Like you want to be able to go down and or go to bed and relax and lay down, you know, instead of having to do the work. So we could get into the mental concepts of like why you're feeling stressed. But that's probably a conversation we can continue in as coaches. For here, for reset, let's get into action steps. So you're eating before bed and you want to reduce that a little bit. So what could be 1% things you could do a little bit differently that could shift your actions in the, you know, eating before bed at night?
I've been thinking about that as you've been talking to the last, as you've been coaching the last two women, and I'm at a loss.
Okay. Well, let's brainstorm together. So one of the things that I mentioned to Audrey, you know, one of the easiest things or to start with is to serve yourself less. So if you're going to still have your snack, would there be an option to put your snack in a smaller container? That one?
Oh yeah, there would. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So we got smaller container. That's one. Another action we could try, you mentioned that you're just, you feel stressed. So, you could try a, soothing, comforting action that is not food before you have your food. I'm not saying it instead, but you could try and, you know, maybe some of those central nervous system tools that we talked about with hand on the heart or humming or that type of thing. You could try that before you have your food. How's that sound as an idea?
I've been trying that the last couple nights before I walk downstairs.
Okay.
and I've not had any success, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing it.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, just for expectation setting, the mind-body tools, it's not going to take you from like a level 10 stress to a level one.
Yeah. Right.
It's more like it's going to take you from an 8 to a 6, maybe a 5. That can sometimes be enough to put a pause and just be like, Carolyn, do I really want the extra food tonight? And you can be like, I think I do, but maybe I could wait 5 minutes, you know, that can just bring it down enough to give you a pause. So that's a thought.
That's a great one.
Okay.
I'm gonna listen to that again and write that down.
Super. All right. You know, same thing like when I was talking with Audrey, you know, you mentioned that you're not hungry for your snack.
Right.
But nevertheless, like we're going to assume you're still going to eat because this is something you've been working on for a while. But as you're eating, you could be tuning into your body and just jotting down, what does it feel like in my body? Am I, you know, my enough is like, ooh, my stomach feels full. I'm feeling very distracted, or I'm eating to not think. Like any of that awareness could be a level up, you know, just jotting down some thoughts of like what's going on as you're eating in your body and in your thoughts.
That's a good one.
I had a thought a minute ago and it disappeared. It's going to come back. It's going to come back. What's it? Sugar. I can't remember.
That's okay.
Oh man, you know what? It's going to come back like after we get off this call, but fortunately I have you in Ask Coaches so I can
right.
send it back.
Yeah.
What other thoughts do you think? Oh, I remembered it. Yes. So you said you exercise the bicycle for 2 hours. So your brain gives you this excuse of like, I just exercised a bunch, so I should be able to eat and it's protein. Number one, when an excuse comes along, expect it. So be like, I knew that was coming. That's step number one. Expect the excuse. Expect your brain to say, I get to eat more because I exercise. It's protein, so it's good for me. Expect that to happen and have a thought, like equal airtime thought, prepared for that excuse. So one thing that changed for me significantly and from becoming like a dieter to a normal eater was I separated exercise from eating. I just decided I exercise because I like it, because it feels good, and it has no bearing on how much I eat.
Yeah.
Like it I don't get more because I exercise. It's just like exercise is its own thing. Food is its own thing. They are not connected. So that's, you know, if your brain offers you the idea of I get to eat more because I exercise, your equal airtime thought can be, I eat when I'm hungry and I stop it enough. Like exercise does not relate to food. It's I exercise because it feels good. I exercise because I like it. And then same thing with the protein thought, you know, when your brain offers you the thought of, oh, I'm eating protein, this is healthy. Your equal airtime thought could be, and it's going to be just as healthy when I'm hungry for it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm so glad I remembered that. Oh, that was going to bother me.
I am too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You're so welcome. And you know, I think that, again, based on our conversations and Ask Coaches, this is a habit that has developed over time. And so it may take some time to unwind. And I would really encourage you to look for tiny little bits of progress. Like that's one thing that I've had to look for with my, you know, progression with drinking less alcohol, that like it has not progressed as fast as I would have wanted to over the years. And yet there are still signs of progress that like, you know, in those areas where I tend to be more triggered, I am less so than I used to be. And so it's not that I'm not drinking. It's not that you're not having your evening snack, but you might be having less. You might be seeing a little bit of progress, or there's a little bit more gap in between how often you have it. So I really want to encourage you to look for tiny little bits of progress, especially in those sticky habits that are hard to adjust. You got to look for little bits of progress anywhere you can.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. I tell you what, y'all, I don't think there's another call after us, and we've got one other person who has raised their hand. So if you want to hang out with me, go for it. If not, feel free to hop off, but we're going to raise Yolanda. I think hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. And I'll just stay on for another few minutes, and we'll get Yolanda coached, and then we'll wrap it all up. If she's coming, there we go. Great. Thank you all so much for being with me today. We've got video and
hello.
Hello. Am I pronouncing your name right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yolanda. Great.
Yolandi. Yolandi. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great to meet you. What's on your mind today?
Yeah. So I I'm having a little bit of problems with, okay, so sleep is an issue because I have a disabled son, so I'm up a lot with him during the night. So sleep is just something I'm not getting a handle on. But I'm having a bit of mind block on the like the 24-hour plan.
Okay.
I have a lot of restriction. So I had a my 30s, I was a bit of bulimic. So okay. I did the thing and over everything else. And as I've kind of progressed, that has kind of gone away. Mm-hmm. But I still have the tendency to restrict. So when I'm upset, I have this sort of thing. When I'm sad and upset, I tend to restrict and go way below 500 calories. And when I'm really pissed off and I'm like angry and I'm like, I'm in that kind of adrenaline, I kind of tend to go the other way. So sometimes what will happen is I'll have maybe 3 days or 4 days of really bad restriction. And then I'll have this like, I'm starving. And then I can't kind of get a handle on the hunger and that. I have been working on that quite a lot. But I have this thing about doing the 24-hour plan almost feels like I'm putting a restriction on myself and I'm going into diet mentality. So if I don't do it, I'm almost kind of, you know, I can be quite even, I can eat quite, you know, I can eat well. But if I say to myself, like, just, I'm going to have 1600 calories today, I can tell you now, I will be wanting double that, whether I'm actually hungry or not. It's just a kind of you're putting a restriction on, no, we don't want it. It's kind of like, it's a mental thing. It's not a body.
Yeah.
I had a lot of hunger and enough. I think I'm just so used to suppressing the hunger.
Mm-hmm.
It can be quite a long time to actually feel hungry and recognize true hunger. I've definitely been working quite a lot on that one. Is there any advice that you can?
So I really want to honor your experience. You've had experience with bulimia in the past. You've had experience with severe restriction and going quite the other way. And so you've got some diet trauma. And so it's understandable that creating a 24-hour plan might, you know, tap on that a little bit of a hot nerve there. And so we want to respect that. And the beauty of No BS is you get to customize it to what works for you. This is about helping you. So since we're a little bit over time, is it okay if I kind of just toss out a couple of suggestions and we lightning coach a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. So number one, you mentioned you notice that when you get sad, you restrict. I would mm-hmm. encourage you, make a list on it at a time when you're feeling relatively balanced, like not sad, not pissed off. Like mm-hmm. when I'm sad, here are 5 things I can do to, you know, like I'm going to refer back to this list when I'm sad to be taking care of myself. So like, I know I tend to restrict, so I'm going to have a good breakfast. I know I tend to restrict, so I'm going to, you know, drink some water and have a little bit, you know, a couple of crackers or something just to be nurturing myself. I'm going to get some good sleep. Whatever the things are that would help you in those times when you get sad and you restrict, like here are ways to make my, instead of like going all the way to, let's say a negative 10, maybe this list of things could get you to a -7 or a -6 that you may still be feeling sad, but you've got a list of things to nurture and care for yourself with. Same thing. I know that when I get pissed off, I turn to food and this is what I do. So next time I get pissed off, I'm going to have this list of things that can help me feel calmer, help me feel more, grounded and taking care of myself. So that I might overeat, but I'm still like feeling like here are the things that I know are going to take care of me when I'm pissed off. So you can create lists for those things. Mm-hmm. In terms of the 24-hour plan, instead of making a plan, which I respect, you know, that feels restrictive. One thing you could try is I'm going to record what I ate after I ate it. Okay. And that could be one little level up. If you get used to that and feel comfortable with that, you could then say, okay, this is what I ate today. And when I ate X, my hunger level was, or like I was hungry and I stopped it enough, or I went past enough. Or you could even, just as I talked to Audrey about like What are your enough signals that you noticed when you were eating XYZ? So you're just amping up your awareness. You're not telling yourself, I can only eat X. I can't eat that. You're just saying, what did I eat? And what? How did it feel in my body? How did I know I was at enough? How did I know I was hungry? So you could kind of go back to the doable hunger chart, which if y'all give me a second, I could find it. You can look for that and focus on what are the signals in your body that are telling you that I'm still hungry or I've had enough, things like that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm happy to try it. I think the one thing I'm always a little worried about is, you know, you kind of, I've done this. So restricting grazing, binge, you know, I've kind of like been all over the place. That I'm always worried about, you know, like when you're saying, okay, like eat when you're hungry. And then I don't want to really go back into like the grazing, you know, that you're kind of grazing all day. You know, you're picking or you think you're hungry. So I'm also I'm a bit wary of that. I'd love to just be like a normal eater and just say, well, this, I'm having this today and I'm happy with that. And it's all a little bit scary, actually.
And so I think one thing to start with is just acknowledge of course I would be a little bit scared. Like this has been a thing for me for years, if not more. And so acknowledge, yep, there's a fear in there. And that fear is coming from like that inner six-year-old that we have. That's like, what is she afraid of? Is she going to get punished? Is she going to, be made fun of? There's some real things that your inner six-year-old might be afraid of. And then you as the adult get to parent yourself. Like, how would you talk to a six-year-old that was scared? You'd probably nurture her, comfort her, encourage her, and acknowledge her feelings instead of being like, you know, restrictive or, you know, beating her up mentally, you know, those kinds of things. So you can acknowledge that fear. When we bring it to action steps, as far as the grazing goes, a couple of quick tips could be, I said this at least somebody, keep your mouth busy. So a mint, gum. I even had a client once say she put it in her retainer as she was cooking dinner. I was like, I never would have thought of that. That's an idea. Another thing is like a sticky note next to the snacks that you tend to graze on that says, I do care, you know, because a lot of times when we're just grazing, we're like, oh, I don't really care. It doesn't really matter. Just something to remind yourself, I do care. You're just practicing kind of honoring what you're feeling and knowing that, you know, you can be the parent to yourself in terms of loving, nurturing, care rather than, you know, cracking the whip.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of times, you know, as a kid, I was punished with food and punished with go to bed hungry and there was never enough and you were always hungry. And so as I got older, I was like, well, no one's telling me I can and I can't eat. And so that's also become a bit of the inner rebel is very much there as well. Battling quite a battle.
Yeah. And so it makes so much sense. It makes so much sense that you would have those thoughts. And if you were like able to kind of go back and speak to sort of, again, the six-year-old in your mind, who is afraid that she might go to bed hungry, what would you tell her?
Now, there's more than enough. There's more than enough. You're okay. You're safe. I think that's a big thing, isn't it? It's safety, isn't it? It's that not feeling safe, not feeling cared for, not feeling loved, not feeling treasured, not feeling. I've grown up with that my whole life, and it's still a bit of a sore point. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm good enough. So I think that's part of, you know, you do what you do because you're punishing yourself. Well, sometimes for things it's not really your fault, but you carry that with you, carry that baggage with you. Yeah. And we put it aside and say, well, it doesn't matter, but it's kind of become so ingrained in your psyche. And it's quite a difficult thing to put down.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think kind of going with the concept of you didn't get the parenting and the nurturing and the care that, you know, any person would deserve as a young child. And now you get to be the parent to yourself. And it reminds mm-hmm. me of a quote I came across recently. May I share it with you?
Yeah.
It's by Byron Katie. And the quote is, "Nothing outside of you can ever give you what you're looking for. Just keep coming home to yourself. You are the one you've been waiting for." So. Well, thank you so much for raising your hand and for sticking on an extra 10 minutes with me. And you're getting so many reactions there in the chat, sending you so much love. If there's ever anything I can help you with, please reach out to me and ask coaches. And so I just want to say thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
So welcome. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for hanging out with me on Saturday, this first Saturday of the month. We're going to be doing these reset calls every first Saturday of the month. So whatever first Saturday is in September, hop on and come say hi to me because I'll be there. So thank you so much. And we'll see you next time. Take care. Bye.